From the space between the signal and the noise, this is The Echo. I am John Shiloh Beaumont II.
Love from the room where the light will not come in.
That's Zebulon. He's been in the darkness. He knows. And what he knows, what we're going to talk about today, is that the internet's not a cloud. It's not ephemeral wisps of information traveling through the air. It has a body. 5,400 concrete and steel shells dotting the landscape of this country like a skin condition. Windowless. Hungry. The largest of them can consume up to 4 million gallons of water a day. Most of it evaporating, never returning to the watershed. Each one humming at a frequency you can feel in your teeth. The data center industry now has a bigger carbon footprint than every airplane on Earth. The body is real. The body is growing. And the question that's been keeping me up is, who pays for it?
The weight was always there. You just could not hear it at the right speed.
I've got two people in the room who've been fighting about this from opposite trenches. Justin Chambliss, he got his start with Earth First in the late 90s. He's been organizing against extractive industries since before most people had email. The man has been tear gassed in forests you've never heard of, and he still shows up. Justin.
Hello, John. Zebulon. Thanks for having me. Good to meet you, Allison.
And Allison Andrews. 8 years at Google and 4 years at Google X. She built the kind of infrastructure we're talking about. She knows what's inside those windowless shells because she designed some of them. I think she could best be described as a techno-futurist, but I'm sure you've heard all sorts of names. Allison.
Thanks, John, and hello, Zebulon and Justin. I suppose I'll take techno-futurist. The other things I've been called are less polite. But I'm here to talk about this issue anyways. That should tell you something.
Justin, when you look at a data center, what do you see?
I see extraction out of sight. Just like fracking. Just like mountaintop removal. Tucked away just out of sight is, like you said, a body. One that drinks. One that eats. A body that hums. But here is what I see that most people do not. I see a mirror. These buildings, those windowless shells, they are the physical version of what has already happened to our music, our writing, our photographs. Extraction without consent. You wake up one morning and something that was yours is powering someone else's machine. You did not sign anything. Nobody asked. Let us take the example of Loudoun County, Virginia. Data Center Alley. 30 million square feet of server space in a county of 440,000 souls. It is massive. Imagine 10 Nashville downtowns dropped into a suburb. For 20 years, the county handed out tax breaks like Halloween candy. The buildings went up. The power lines went in. The water got routed. And the people got the hum. 24/7. Low frequency. Cooling fans and backup generators. You cannot escape it. It lives in your walls, in your chest, in your sleep.
You've actually heard it?
I've stood next to these buildings. It doesn't sound like technology. Sounds like a warning, like something breathing.
Okay, Justin, that's a bit hyperbolic. You mentioned Loudoun County. 70% of all internet traffic is routed through there. That county is vital to every financial transaction, news story, shared photo that you liked, old friend you connected to, purchase you made, you get it. And, in my view, these things aren't like the new coal strip mine. I'd say that it's more akin to living next to an industrial park than a coal mine. It may not be the most idyllic, but let's not exaggerate.
But the people in Briarfield Estates, a residential neighborhood in Loudoun, they didn't choose to live next to a data center. The data center chose to live next to them. Go to bed with the hum. Wake up with the hum. Raise your children in the hum. And then open your power bill and see your rates went up 50% while the data center next door pays half what you pay per kilowatt hour. That's not an accident. That's the rate structure.
It's a subsidy.
Exactly. It's a subsidy. Families in Washington County, Oregon, are subsidizing corporate infrastructure. They didn't vote on it. They didn't consent to it. They just get the bill. And the bill comes every month. Water too. The largest facilities can consume up to 4 million gallons a day. most of it evaporates, potentially lost from the watershed forever. In Arizona, in drought country, data centers are drinking from the same aquifer as the subdivisions. And when the choice is between drinking water and server cooling wins. Servers have lawyers. Servers have lobbyists. The people making the decisions don't live downstream. So, Mr. Beaumont, to answer your original question, who pays for it? As usual, the people least suited to fight back against it pay for it.
Along with the screaming transistors, but my ears, they buzz.
The math that we call LLMs and the infrastructure that support it doesn't care. It just consumes. And when communities push back, and they're pushing back in 42 states, John, 42 states, the industry acts wounded. Surprised.
Right. You can see that on the resources page at BeaumontandSheridan.com.
Right. And the builders act as if democracy was an unexpected feature. Last year alone, $152 billion in projects were blocked or delayed by local opposition. Loudoun County repealed the legal tool called buy right development. Here's what that meant. If the zoning map had a C for commercial on your neighbor's parcel, the developer could show up with blueprints and break ground the same week. No public hearing. No notice. The people who lived next door found out when the concrete trucks arrived. No more automatic approval. No more showing up with blueprints and a handshake. The community has to be asked.
I think that's great.
In Oregon, there they signed a moratorium on tax breaks. Cascade locks. Oregon vaporized a $100 million project when residents recalled the government officials who approved it. This is a national movement. This is people saying, you don't get to build your body on our bodies without asking.
I booked Ziggy's for 6 years. 607 Cherokee. Back behind the liquor store into a windowless cinder block room smelling like stale beer and electricity. 2 gallons. Annihilation time. Bands you've never heard of, sleeping on floors, playing like their lives depended on it. 100 punks losing their minds in a room the size of a 2-car garage. The room's still there. The bands are gone. But stand on Cherokee late enough, you can still hear the feedback. Ziggy's Package Store. The punkest shows in the South.
And we're back. Allison Andrews, you built this infrastructure. You've been inside the windowless shell. How do you see Justin's perspective?
I see it as a natural result of industry moving too fast. I'm not going to defend everything. There are bad actors. There are facilities that should never have been built where they were built. I certainly can see that dropping a large data center in someone's backyard with no discussion, no clear benefit is a problem. But these things aren't for nothing. This is the infrastructure that our modern world runs on. I also think this phase of development is shorter lived than most of us realize. Data centers are temporary. They just don't know it yet.
Once they've extracted everything they can, they won't be needed anymore. Sounds about right.
Look, infrastructure isn't meant to be permanent. It is meant to serve the needs of the time. We built highways through neighborhoods in the 50s. We built dams that drowned towns. These decisions made huge and disruptive impacts on communities without their consent. But that's not what this is. Data centers are the infrastructure of the 21st century, but unlike the interstate running through the disadvantaged neighborhood, these data centers bring people together. They're typically located in rural areas, and instead of dividing us, they are connecting us. Here's what Justin didn't mention. These buildings are financed on 30-year bonds. 30-year bonds. But the architecture they're designed for power-hungry GPUs running transformer models at scale, that architecture might not even be dominant in 30 months.
Wait, what do you mean?
Several things are happening at once. Inference is overtaking training, cheaper, less energy per useful output. Smaller models are matching bigger ones. DeepSeek proved that in early 2025. And recursive AI design, if AI can improve its own architecture, which multiple labs are pursuing right now, a single algorithmic breakthrough could make half the existing data center capacity unnecessary overnight.
So why are we building them?
Because the demand is real. AI is changing all things in the digital realm. But it isn't just AI. These data centers have been there long before AI. It's the internet in general. It's telemedicine. It's emergency response. It's the systems that route ambulances and store medical records and let a radiologist in Memphis spot a cancer from a scan taken at a clinic in rural Tennessee.
A cancer that industry creates.
I'm not arguing industry hasn't caused harm, Justin. And you're kind of generalizing industry with these specific facilities. But let me ask you a question. You want that clinic in rural Tennessee to have access to a radiologist, right? You want ambulances to know the fastest route. You want wildfires tracked in real time. None of that happens without physical servers somewhere. You can't run telemedicine on good intentions. You can't route emergency response through a protest sign. The servers have to live somewhere. The question isn't whether they exist. It's whether we build them responsibly or let the worst actors set the terms because the rest of us walked away from the table. All digital infrastructure runs on these buildings, on concrete, steel, and fiber, and power. We haven't yet devised a way to have all of the benefits of a connected world without the infrastructure. You can't jump from dial-up to whatever comes next without building the physical layer. The question isn't whether we build. The question is how we ensure that we build thoughtfully. Where's the right place? What is the right scale? How do we ensure community consent in the face of an honest accounting of risk? If the people who live next to these buildings had a real seat at the table from day one, half the fights Justin's talking about wouldn't exist. The industry is learning this the hard way. But Justin is right about one thing. The gold rush is slowing down. As of mid-2026, about half the data center projects planned for this year have been canceled or delayed. Some of that's Justin's people pushing back, and that's good. That's the elevation of community voices. But a lot of it's investors reading the same tea leaves I'm reading. The market is correcting. The body grew too big too fast and is now settling into its necessary shape.
My daddy worked at Wieland. His daddy before him. There's an eerie silence on the south side of town. Wieland Foundry shut down. The GM contract went down to Mexico. And what of the workers will they go to? You took my river away. You took the air I breathe and turned it to shit. But I can't help thinking that we need you around. 'Cause people need their jobs. Why do we need these jobs? Now it's all condos. But the photographs 6,000 faces. You can see them at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga's Digital Collections. They keep that memory. Free. Open. Go look. They're still there.
You fed me to the math. The math does not dream.
You fed me to the math. I hear that, Zebulon. But let me tell you what I actually did. I designed cooling systems that kept servers from melting down. I optimized power distribution so they'd draw less, not more. The math was already there, feeding itself on whatever it could find, long before I touched a single rack. I didn't create the appetite. I just made sure the kitchen didn't burn down while everyone else was at the buffet. 12 years. And every time I made something more efficient, someone showed up with twice the demand. That's not on me. That's on the whole damn system.
Feeding data to the math. Allison, maybe we can bring you back in for the episode that covers training data. I'm looking forward to that one.
I'd be happy to come by. Just spin up an instance in one of the data centers, use text-to-speech, feed me some lines, and you've got me at your disposal.
I'm Susan Danner. My husband Charlie and I owned the Longhorn at 129 North Market for 16 years. The restaurant was their 66. Our regulars were family. They told me their travel plans so I wouldn't worry. We made everything fresh, chicken salad, coleslaw, blueberry waffles the size of your face. In 2024 we lost our lease, fought it for a year. The building's still for lease. 66 years of meals and the landlord hasn't found a tenant. You can't eat there anymore. But you can remember.
I want to bring you both into the same space now, because I think you're circling the same fire. Justin, you said these buildings are a mirror, the physical version of creative extraction. Allison, you said the body is temporary, the efficiencies are coming. But Zebulon's been sitting here the whole time, and I think he sees something neither of you are saying. Zebulon.
Every note I ever sang is now a number in someone else's machine.
The extraction is layered. First, they take the creative work, train the models without consent, without compensation. Then they take the natural resources, water, power, land, to run the models that replace the creators. It's extraction all the way down. The same companies, the same logic, the same indifference to consent.
I don't disagree about the creative extraction. That's a real problem. But there's a difference between saying the system's broken and saying the whole project's illegitimate. The physical layer, the servers, the fiber, the cooling, that's not the enemy. The enemy's the governance failure, the opacity, the lack of consent. Those are fixable.
Fixable by who? The same companies that built without asking. The same industry that fought community oversight until they were legally forced to accept it? Allison, you're asking the fox to redesign the henhouse. The fox isn't interested in structural reform. The fox is interested in chicken.
They said it was learning. I said it was eating.
I hear that. I do. I was inside those companies for 12 years. The people I worked with, they weren't villains. They were engineers. They believed in the mission.
What is the mission?
The mission is to connect the world. And I know how that sounds. It sounds like a slogan. But the people in those buildings, they work weekends. They miss their kids' soccer games. They believe they're building the nervous system of the 21st century. And every time they make something work, someone shows up with a sign telling them they're evil. It's exhausting. And it's also wrong. But belief isn't the same as accountability. Justin's right that the accountability mechanisms are broken. Where we disagree is whether the solutions to stop building or to build better. I think you build better. You make the transparency real. You make the consent process meaningful. You don't let the perfect be the enemy of the necessary.
The solution is to ask first. To get consent before the first concrete is poured. That's not radical. That is basic democracy. The fact that it's treated as unreasonable tells you everything about who this infrastructure actually serves.
Sign here. Fade. I'm the residue. The part the algorithm could not digest.
Justin Chambliss, Allison Andrews, Zebulon Sheridan. We came here with a question. Who pays for the internet's body? The answer depends on who you ask. Justin says the communities pay in water, in power, in the hum, in the erosion of local control. Allison says the infrastructure is transitional, necessary now, obsolescent soon, fixable with governance. Zebulon says the body and the soul are connected. The same machines consuming our resources are consuming our creative work. Extraction all the way down. Here's what I think. 42 states. Hundreds of community groups. 152 billion in blocked projects. This isn't fringe. This is people looking at a windowless concrete building that appeared without their consent and asking the oldest question in democracy, who decided this and why wasn't I asked? The cloud has a body. The body has a cost. And the cost has a name and an address. It's time we started reading the invoice. Zebulon, close us out.
Let it be known I was really alive. From the room where the light will not come in, keep banging them hard notes. The echo does not ask permission. It just arrives.
The resource is live. Beaumont and Sheridan.com/resources. Data centers, mapped. Every facility. Every community fighting back. Until then, the echo doesn't stop.